I'm Kayla Ali, and welcome back to the Ali Perspective. And today, you know how we start every show. We're talking about this week's biggest winners and losers, okay? And this last week, I focused more on NFL and a little less on college football. But this week in college football reminded me why I love college football so much, because you never know what you're going to get going into any game, okay? And I'm going to start with our biggest winners of college football. And of course, I'm going to have to give it to the Alabama Crimson Tide. Roll Tide. I had to do it. Now, Alabama came off an electric win this past weekend. I mean, they beat the Georgia Bulldogs. Everyone knows it's always a Bama versus Georgia. Who's going to have the better team, especially since Kirby Smart has been there. And now with Nick Saban retiring, it's just the hype about going into this game and what was going to happen, the expectations and how things were going to play out. I mean, I haven't seen, it felt like a playoff game, okay? Because we know Alabama and Georgia normally don't meet until the end of the season, the SEC championship, or in the playoffs. So to have this game this early in the season, it was electrifying. It was College Game Day was great. The analysis of the teams was in-depth and accurate. So I just have to get a shout-out to all of that, all the electricity around that. And watching that game as a fan, I fell in love with college football all over again. That's how exciting it was. I mean, that game gave us everything. In the first half, I mean, Alabama just dominated Georgia. Going into halftime, the score was 30-7. Milroe had, at that point, he was throwing the ball. He was running the ball. He was doing everything that he was supposed to do. Georgia defense did not have an answer. The weak spot that I thought was going to be for Alabama, which was the secondary in the first half, they stood up. They did what they're supposed to do. They caused turnovers. They forced drop passes. They were all over the receivers of Georgia. Carson Beck he looked horrible in that first half. That's just how dominant Alabama was offensively and defensively. They did everything that they were supposed to do. So in the beginning of the game, you thought it was just going to be a straight blowout. And then Georgia flips the switch. So then we had a comeback. So in the second, so we went from having a blowout in the first half to having a comeback for the ages. I mean, Georgia outscored Bama in the second half 27-11. I mean, Carson Beck was on fire. The weak spot that I thought was going to be Alabama, they showed up in the second half, and it was the secondary. The secondary was constantly getting penalized for holding, pass interference, or they was just getting outright beat. I mean, this is a secondary who pretty much lost all their starters except for Malachi Moore to either the transfer portal or the NFL draft. So I knew that that was going to be a weak spot for them, but I expected them to play how they played in the first half, and they didn't do that. Beck was just, he was carving them up. I mean, he was making it look easy. He became the, I want to say, seventh or eighth quarterback to throw for 400 yards on the Alabama defense. And what's even crazier is Alabama is 7-1 in games like that. And in the end of that, I mean, Georgia came all the way back and was winning. It only lasted for 13 seconds. But I mean, in the end, it was Alabama's true freshmen that stood up and got the win for Alabama. I mean, that catch by Ryan Williams first of all, he stopped mid-route to adjust to the ball, and he caught the ball. Then he gathers with not one but 2 feet in bounds, tiptoed. Then he goes to run, and then he jab steps in the middle of two defenders, steps back out, makes the two defenders hug, and then run for the touchdown. We're talking about a 17-year-old. He's supposed to be in English 4 right now. He's supposed to be getting his Justin's hoodie with class of 2025 on it right now. And he is dominating football players that are 21, 22, 23 years old who are on Georgia's defense. So these aren't no scrubs that we're talking about. We're talking about potential first-round picks on Georgia's defense, and he is making them look silly at 17 years old. We're going to get two more seasons of this in college football, and I cannot wait to see. So shout out to Ryan Williams for making that catch. Shout out to Jalen Milroe for placing that ball the way that he did. I mean, he completed over 80% of his passes, so he had a great game as well. And then shout out to the other freshman, the other deuce. We're talking about Zabian Brown, who had a terrific interception in the end zone to ice the game and to get the win for Alabama. I mean, he was someone that was kind of getting beat on his routes a lot, especially on that last drive that was leading to Georgia possibly scoring again. And when I listened to him talk about what he did differently to be able to read the quarterback and read the wide receiver and make the right play, he listened to his coach. His coach told him to watch the wide receiver's shoulders, give him enough space, and he did that, and he was able to make the play. So shout out to those freshmen. And I mean, like I said, Jalen Milroe, he finished the game with 374 passing yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. On the ground, he ran for 117 yards with two touchdowns. I mean, it's fair to say that he's a front runner right now for the Heisman. A performance like that against Georgia, I mean, how does that not set him above the rest? And I mean, I do know Georgia is going to have to play Texas. And then so how that game plays out, that's also going to be one that kind of determined the Heisman race, as well as when Alabama still has to play LSU, Tennessee. And Tennessee. My apologies. I had that right the first time. So it's going to be really interesting to see, but how the season plays out. But what a big win. And do we now start to look at Kirby Smart, how we look at all the rest of the SEC coaches or SEC teams who can't beat Bama? I mean, he is now 1-7. 1-7. He was 1-6 against Saban. Saban, I understood. But going against Kellen DeBoer, now he is 0-1. So, Kirby, are you going to be – I'm pretty sure we're going to see these teams play again in the playoffs. I'm 90% sure we're going to see that happen. So, Kirby, can you get it right then? Or maybe even in the SEC championship? That also could be a possibility. So we shall see how that go, how and what the outcome will be. But Kirby, you got to beat Bama a little bit more. You have to. If not, they're going to start looking at you like all the rest of the SEC coaches who can't beat Bama. Only thing that's saving you right now is that you have two national championships. Okay. And for our other biggest winners, I'm going to give another shout out to Colorado. Colorado is coming off an impressive win against UCF. They dominated the game from start to finish. I never really felt like UCF, even when the game was just 14-7 in the first quarter, I felt confident in Colorado the entire time. And out of all the games I've seen of Colorado, I don't think I've ever been that confident for them to win a game and be as dominant as they were. Of course, they still allowed 21 points, but I mean, their defense really tightened up. Their defensive line, those transfers that we said that could make a name for themselves, and they didn't really show that early on in the season, they're now starting to show that. So you can tell that their defense is finally starting to click. The offensive line is doing better in protection for Shador. Running game still needs a lot of work. I mean, you finished the game with 122 rushing yards, but your leading rusher only had 39 rushing yards. So they got to work on the run game, but the pass game, it got better. Shador finished with 290 yards and three touchdowns, only one interception. Like I said, the defense, they gave up a lot of yards, but they didn't allow them to score as much. And because they didn't allow them to score as much, they caused a lot of turnovers. They finished the game with four turnovers, two interceptions, one which was a magnificent catch by Travis Hunter, and the other two came from fumbles, and one was ran all the way back for a 97-yard touchdown. So shout out to the defense for finally starting to put the pieces together. It seems that they are getting better every week, and if they continue on this path, I mean, they're 2-0 in conference play. It could very well have a role to the playoffs, which it would shock me because I didn't see them making it to the playoffs. I felt that they would be one of those teams that were right on the cusp of making the playoffs, but didn't quite get it. But if they continue to play and continue to find a way to gel every week and get better and better and better, I'm going to be really excited to see Colorado and see what Deion can do with that coaching job and rallying his team together, especially after sometimes a demoralizing loss like they had against Nebraska. But coming up, they're still going to have to play Arizona, Kansas State, as well as Utah. Now, Utah, that's going to be because their quarterback situation, okay? They can't score with the quarterback that they have right now. But if they get their original starter back in, it could be a different situation. So from the rest of their schedule, I can possibly see that Colorado have a path to the playoffs. So I'm going to keep a close eye on that for you guys. And I also want to give a golden star, if I would say, to Travis Hunter. I mean, talk about another Heisman candidate. No one is doing it like him on both sides of the ball. I mean, this kid is a great receiver, and he's also a great DB. I don't think that there's one that he's necessarily better at, and he's always on the field. He seems to have a motor like no other. It's going to be hard for him not to be a top five pick coming up in this NFL draft, especially if he stays healthy, which I'm praying and I'm hoping that he stays healthy, because he's a player that I want to see each and every week, because you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know if he's going to catch an 80-yard touchdown pass. You don't know if he's going to cause a forced fumble, or if he's going to, you know, get an amazing interception like how he had this week. He's an electrifying player. How can you not want to watch him? How can NFL GMs not want him? How can you not put him in a Heisman conversation? So I pray that he continues to be healthy, so we continue to see him and see him grow. And it's going to be interesting when he does get an NFL and he might have to pick, or he could play both sides then too. But that's a whole nother story for a different day. But shout out to Colorado, and I can't wait to see what they continue to do. Now, on to our biggest losers. I'm really going to have to go with, in college football, Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss, you come into this game, you're averaging about 50-something points a game. You rarely have to punt the ball. I mean, your offense has just been dynamic. Defense hasn't given up a lot of points. You come into your own house, you invite Kentucky. SEC game, we all know SEC, all SEC opponents, any day of the week, they can give you their best effort, best foot forward. Kentucky has been knocking on the door, because I feel like they should have beat Georgia in that 12-13 loss. Ever since that loss to South Carolina, Kentucky has found a way to be tough and gritty. And games that people think that they will just get blown out in, they've been right there. They just hadn't kicked the door down. And they kicked the door in with Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss, you're coming off an 11-game season. You're bringing back a lot of your players, okay? And you have Lane Kiffin, who is a great offensive coach, okay? Everyone is buying into Ole Miss. I mean, you're ranked 6th in the nation. And you get punched in the mouth by Kentucky. And not punched in the mouth of they came out and they dominated Ole Miss. But no, they played SEC football. They played the type of football that they played against Georgia. And Ole Miss just wasn't prepared for that. And I blame a little bit of that on their scheduling. Yes, their offense has been dominant. Yes, their defense has been dominant. But look who they played. They played teams like Furman. They put up 70 points, but it was against Furman. And their other three games outside of the Furman game, not really quality opponents. And then you play subpar opponents, and then when you get in SEC play, and you get punched in the mouth, you don't know how to respond. And that's exactly what happened to Ole Miss, and that's why Kentucky was able to get the win in the end, because your non-conference schedule isn't strong. So you got to work on that. You got to do better with scheduling. I'm not saying go out and schedule all of these really talented and powerhouse teams that, you know, that could beat you. But strength of schedule matters. It matters when the games count more in conference play. We'll see how they bounce back, but they have one of the easier SEC schedules. So we'll see how they respond and how they bounce back. But I think that Kentucky loss was really a backbreaker for them. They can still very well get into the college playoffs. But it's going to be interesting to see how they respond. And it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of their season plays out. But I know Lane is probably shaking his head about why he decided to play so many cupcakes before he got into SEC play. All right, so that's enough about college football. It was a great week of football. Oh, and before I even move on, that Miami-Virginia Tech game, that was also a really great game, and the refs messed that game up. And I want to, before I switch gears to the NFL, I do want to talk about that call. The refs made a mistake in the beginning because they should have never called that a touchdown on the field. That should have been an incomplete pass. And then after that, they should go look and review it. Because even when you slowed it down, no one ever had full control of the ball. So I don't know how they could have seen that in real time and said, hey, that's a touchdown. Now, it wasn't indisputable evidence for them to overturn that call from touchdown to incomplete pass. But they had a right or wrong because their original wrong was calling that a touchdown in the first place. Okay, so, and I know a lot of people was talking about it. It was a controversial call, so I just had to give my 2 cents on that. But shout out to Miami. Shout out to Virginia Tech for not being scared of Miami and that number that's beside them and playing them hard. And that was just a very entertaining game. Both sides brought it. And like I said, this past week of college football really reminded me why I love college football so much and why I kind of like it more than the NFL. It's just way more exciting, okay? And now I'm officially going to move on to the NFL. And some of my biggest winners out of this week, I'm going to have to go with the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens finally look like the Ravens that they looked like last year. It just took them starting 0-2, but after those two games, they're slowly getting back into the habit of being the Ravens, which is being great on offense and being even better on defense, okay? I mean, they destroyed the Bills. I mean, the Bills came off last week from destroying the Jags, so I thought it was going to be a bit more of a competitive game, but the Ravens just mashed the gas. All gas, no brakes, and that's exactly what they did. Lamar looked great. The defense looked better. Kyle Hamilton is flying all over the field. They need him to be healthy the entire season because that guy is all over the field. He's making pass breakups. He's coming downhill, and he's tackling in the run game. That was a great draft pick for them. I mean, also, Roquan Smith at the linebacker position, great linebacker, has a nose for the ball. He doesn't get lost. To be a great linebacker, you can't get lost. You can never get lost in the shuffle. And he does a phenomenal job of that. And he has such sound tackling. So that was great to see. I mean, and Lamar, that's a 2-time MVP. I mean, with how things are looking, with injuries plaguing some of the teams that have been dominant these last few years, it's looking like this is the year that Lamar can finally cement his legacy and possibly come away with the Super Bowl. And I mean, like I said, we're only 4 games into the season. We got 13 games left. But if they continue on this route and not look back at that 0-2 start and only look forward and gain and build from how they played these last 2 games, I mean, you got to watch out for Baltimore, okay? Gotta keep them in your sights. And even though I'm a Panthers fan, it's certain players that I love to watch and it's certain players I love to root for. And Lamar is just one of those players. He's dynamic. He's electrifying. He's a leader. He's a great football player, and he's an MVP. So he just needs to add a Super Bowl winner to that to complete his resume. And he's still so young when you think about that. So shout out to the Ravens, and And also Derrick Henry. I mean, now he has the longest run of 87 yards in franchise history. He might be the last running back that we see get to 10,000 yards in his career. That's just because of how the running back position has become fickle in the past few years, and injuries and overuse and all of that. So I'm great to see him. I hope he continues to be healthy, stay healthy, and so that he can be the next running back to reach 10,000 yards. He's close. If I'm not mistaken, he's at 9,800 yards right now. So he's very close to getting on the cusp of getting 10,000 yards. And our biggest losers this week in NFL, and it's not a team or a coach or anything like that. It's going to be the injuries, man. Injuries are piling up for a lot of teams. We're losing out on a lot of great players because of injuries. Now they're saying that Christian McCaffrey is going to be out for even longer because he has Achilles tendonitis and not one but both legs. That's a blow. That's a blow to my fantasy team too. But that's here nor there. But I mean, that's a blow for the 49ers. The 49ers are also battling injuries with Kittle and Debo. Like, That team is kind of decimated with injuries right now. And also the Kansas City Chiefs are decimated with injuries right now. They started off by losing Isaiah Pacheco, okay? Then they just went and Patrick Mahomes threw an interception, tried to tackle, and he just hurt Rice. Rice has a hyperextended knee, and that's going to take time. He's going to be out. And then there's talk about some possibly PCL strain or tear. So I mean, we're watching great teams be decimated by injuries. And that's, for the viewers, we're losing out big on that. You know, we want to see the stars play. We want to see the Puka Nacuas and the Cooper Cups and the Christian McCaffreys and the Kittles and the Samuels, Pacheco. We want to see all those players healthy. So injury bugs, stop. Leave the NFL alone. Leave them alone. Let these guys be healthy. Let every team be at 100%. I pray no more injuries, no more big losses, and we can just enjoy the rest of the NFL season. And next, okay, we're going to go into oddly picks, okay? I got three games for you and my three predictions for these games, okay? So next week in college football, we have Ole Miss versus South Carolina. Now, South Carolina, even though I'm not a Carolina fan or a Clemson fan, I know that sounds weird because I live in South Carolina, but neither team's really call out to me like that. Okay, I'm sorry. But after Ole Miss coming off that loss, and they just struggle with dealing with a team that can be equal to them, and I know what South Carolina is capable of because they should have beat LSU. And William Bryce Stadium is not an easy stadium to go into and win. Okay. The crowd is electrifying. They're behind this Carolina team 100%. This Carolina team looks like an SEC team. And it's been a few years since they've actually looked like an SEC caliber team. So for this one, I don't think Ole Miss is going to bounce back and win this one. I think Carolina has learned from their mistakes about how they lost to LSU, and they're going to come in and they're going to beat Ole Miss. They're going to give Ole Miss their second loss in a week. Now, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be a cakewalk for Carolina, but Carolina's defense is going to have to play smart, not do anything dumb. Okay, because that's how they lost the LSU game. There's also some bad calls in there. But I'm going to give South Carolina the edge in that one. And then now for my NFL picks of my top games, of games that I'm going to be more interested in seeing than others. I'm going to go Dallas and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh just came off a loss to the Colts. And their defense is mad because they gave up 27 points to the Colts. And Joe Flacco. Anthony Richardson got hurt and he had to sit. And Joe Flacco came in. And I think Pittsburgh is going to have defense is going to have a bounce back game. Dallas, I don't think Dallas still has figured it out all the way yet. I think they still have a lot of problems. And I think they're going to run into some problems with the Steelers defense. And I'm going to give Pittsburgh the edge. And I think Pittsburgh is going to beat Dallas. And then next I have New Orleans versus the Kansas City Chiefs. It's hard to bet against Patty P. It's hard to bet against that man. I mean, it's really hard. But I think the Saints are going to win. And that's just because Kansas City is just decimated with injuries right now. And then Travis Kelce isn't having the season so far that we are accustomed to him having. So I think the Saints are going to edge out and they're going to win that one. Okay. And I want you guys in the comments to tell me who you think are going to win those games. And I want you to tell me why you think they're going to win these games. Okay. Once again, I'm Kayla Ali, and this is the Ali Perspective. Now, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. And if this is you're listening in from Apple or Spotify, please share and post and let me know your feedback. Let me know how you're feeling about the show. Let me know if there's things I need to add. I'm out here for feedback, guys. I'm out here for feedback and growing my platform and growing this podcast, okay? So I'll catch you back here next week. Once again, I'm Kayla Ali, and this is the Ali Perspective.